movie makes, another chance he takes. Odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man. They've given you a number and taken away your name.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Glenn Carl, who was a member of the CIA's clandestine service for 23 years and retired in March of 2007 as Deputy National Intelligence Officer for Transnational Threats. He's the author of the recent book, The Interrogator and Education. And he has an article at the Huffington Post, Zero Dark 30, Torture is the American Way? Welcome to Background Briefing, Glenn Carl.
Thank you very much for having me.
And Glenn, the president announced today his nominee to be head of the CIA, John Brennan, who has apparently served closely beside him for the last 4 years. This is the second shot at that job for John Brennan. Back in 2008, he withdrew his nomination or withdrew his name because of largely from criticisms from liberal groups about the choice. What do you think his chances are this time around?
Well, I don't think I have a particularly good record or insight into tea leaf reading for Capitol Hill, but I do know John Brennan well, and I think I know the issues well enough, of course. I think very, very highly about John Brennan. He and I have worked together in previous years on terrorism issues. I felt at the time, in 2008, that he was the unfortunate victim of misunderstanding, actually. I know John and his views and his conception of how to conduct counter-terrorist operations and his devotion to the oath of office. And I think he was unfairly tarred with having been a supporter of enhanced interrogation techniques. In fact, to my knowledge, that the opposite is the case, actually, and John's a principled man with nuanced views. So I would hope that the odds are very high, and I don't think one could find a better candidate, frankly, to be a director of Central Intelligence.
Well, apparently, Brennan, in a letter to Obama back in 2008, when he withdrew from consideration for the head of the CIA, said in the letter that he was a strong opponent of many of the policies of the Bush administration, such as the preemptive war in Iraq and coercive interrogation tactics, including waterboarding.
Yes, I know that for a fact. John and I were working together from 2003 to 2007. That's correct. In my experience, that is correct. He was a victim of the moment, and having been a senior intelligence officer during the years when those events, those activities occurred, so he was tarred with association in that way, which I suppose is unavoidable, but was not just. It was not did not correspond to reality. When I know in-house John to have fought the good fight many, many times.
So the other issue, of course, will be the use of drones and targeted killing. And the American Civil Liberties Union have voiced concerns over Brennan's nomination today, saying the Senate should not move forward and clear this nominee until it is clear that this nominee will end its targeted killing program. What are the chances of that happening?
Well, it sounds like, two things I'll comment on there. It sounds like deja vu all over again in a way. You change from enhanced interrogation techniques, which should be called torture, to the drone issue, and then the ACLU's position is the same as that which happened 4 years ago with respect to John's candidacy. I think that's an error again. The ACLU and I agree on many things, but on this one I think that they're misplaced in their views. The drone campaign, or the use of drones as we've done it for a number of years now, is a sensitive, controversial one. There's no question about that. It does raise issues of rule of law, habeas corpus, and due process, and so on, particularly with respect to Americans. I would argue, frankly, that the Obama administration is getting it right on the whole, which is that it is legitimate to consider certain hostile actions by a non-state actor as an act of war. And I think the United States can legitimately defend itself by killing people in certain instances. I know for a fact that the controls and measures to make sure that we get the right target and do not kill innocent people, if at all possible, are rigorous. Will errors occur? Of course. But I know that the measures are rigorous. I don't deny that there are legitimate debates to be had on this, but I think the tar John Brennan with the issue and to deny him the DCI position as a result would be an injustice itself. What is my prediction for how he'll get through the process? I think that this time around, the people on the Hill should look at 4 years of dramatically greater nuance in our counterterrorism policies, a total repudiation conceptually and almost organizationally down to the individual case officer level of how the war on terror was conducted counterterrorism operations were conducted under Obama as opposed to the war on terror under the Bush administration. And John Brennan is responsible for much of this, and I think he's a man of nuance and understanding and should get the nod if people know what they're doing.
Again, I'm speaking with Glenn Carl, who was a member of the CIA's clandestine service for 23 years and retired in March of 2007 as Deputy National Intelligence Officer for Transnational Threats. He's the author of The Interrogator and Education, and he has an article at the Huffington Post, Zero Dark 30, Torture is the American Way? Question. So, Glenn Carl, given that the issue of torture will come back, and already Senator John McCain has said that he wants to revisit that role, it's interesting that now, last time around, John Brennan got attacked from the left in 2008, and now he'll be attacked both from the left and from the right with John McCain. Now, John McCain, of course, will ritually attack everything that Obama does. I mean, this is a very bitter man who lost the presidency in 2008 to Obama and seems to have spent every waking moment since finding ways to frustrate and diminish Obama's ability to govern. And he seems to be acting out of a rather petty bitterness, but nevertheless, he still has some influence there in the Republican caucus. What happened, though, with Morrell? He was standing there, the deputy director of the CIA, who took the job after Petraeus's ignominious departure. He was standing next to Brennan when the president introduced him, and then Morrell actually introduced Brennan before he spoke. And the LA Times is reporting on Monday that maybe Morrell lost his chance of getting the job because of his association with the filmmakers of Zero Dark 30. So that strikes me as something of an odd irony.
Yes, irony is a good thing because I think it helps us maintain sanity and detachment a little bit, but it doesn't help us too much if we're the officers who are victimized by the ironic perceptions and events. I don't know the facts firsthand. I have heard also that various powers on the Hill were angered that senior people, I guess Morrell is the one in question, had spoken with people involved in making the movie Zero Dark 30. That would be poorly considered, but you know, if someone wants to stop you, then you can almost come up with any pretext. I have seen the movie, and I limited my comments in the little piece I did in Huffington only to the issue of how torture is portrayed and the way people will perceive it. Not to the accuracy of the movie itself as a whole. I'll be writing a piece on that soon. The movie is remarkably accurate. It's shocking. I lived this. I did this. And I thought, and in fact, they were quoting me at various times. Not that I spoke to nobody. I want to get that on the record. It's amazingly accurate in how things were portrayed. So, did Morrell talk, and should he pay a price for it? I think that would be harsh, but I suspect that that's what's happening. And Washington's a tough place.
Well, I think specifically the Senate's on the Intelligence Committee sent a letter to Morrell on Thursday, last Thursday. It was apparently a sharply worded letter demanding him that he explain his assertion in a December 21 message to CIA employees that, in quote, some information leading to Al-Qaeda chief bin Laden came from detainees subjected to enhanced techniques. So that seems to be the objection, because as you know, Glenn, Senators McCain, Levin, and Feinstein wrote a joint letter to the head of Sony Entertainment, the studio that's distributing Zero Dark 30, complaining about the film. So apparently specifically, I guess, for Feinstein, since she's the chair of the committee, is complaining to Morrell that he told the CIA employees that the torture did work in part.
This is a mystery to me why Morrell would do that. You know, if we become lawyerly for a moment and we look at the wording, information from detainees subject to enhanced interrogation techniques contributed to finding Osama bin Laden. I'm sure that is true. That doesn't say information obtained through the use of enhanced interrogation techniques led to the capture or the killing of Osama bin Laden. So I think maybe there's, you know, President Clinton nuance might be involved in the statement. I don't know every report. I obviously did not attend and take part and participate in every interrogation of every high-value target, but I was involved in the program, and subsequently, for years, I was a recipient and an assessor, someone assessing the validity of the intelligence obtained from detainees. And I can tell you that, as far as I knew, when I retired in 2007, every report obtained under duress had been formally recalled as not trustworthy, and that the information that led to bin Laden did not come from enhanced interrogation, a point which is made in the movie, Zero Dark Thirty, if one watches carefully. The information was obtained from a detainee who was subject to enhanced interrogation by using normal interrogation methods, not from using enhanced interrogation methods. So it is, I am bemused and distressed that an American official would say that torture has produced useful information. And even if it had, that would obscure the argument, and here I would agree with McCain, Feinstein, and Levin, that this is not even a debate we should be having. No American official should be ever supporting, under any circumstance, the use of enhanced interrogation. So I just find that, frankly, shocking and mystifying and wrong.
Well, I think probably what's going on here, Glenn Kyle, is that a lot of people, probably more so in the Pentagon than the CIA, but certainly in the CIA, are concerned that the film will be shown abroad, which it obviously will. And if a cartoon in a Danish newspaper or the accidental burning of a Quran in Afghanistan could create the kind of backlash in the Islamic world, this film, you know, is pretty disturbing. And I think that's probably what they're worried about, aren't they? That this is just
those are legitimate concerns, and it's an outrage and a stain on us forever as a nation that we did this. This should be acknowledged and common knowledge to everybody in the United States. But it's a fact.
Right. Well, I know.
It's horrible. And so is enhanced interrogation. Not as horrible as Abu Ghraib, but horrible.
Right.
It is a fact. The truth hurts, and tough luck for us.
Well, of course, but it would make more sense then to put Dick Cheney on trial rather than Catherine Bigelow. I mean, there's a Naomi Wolf has written a piece comparing Catherine Bigelow to Leni Riefenstahl, which is an absurd notion.
And, oh, for goodness sake, that's just nonsense.
Yeah,
that's
she's just...
You know, no. I can tell you that Bigelow's film is disturbing and is... I lived this. This is my life. This is my career. And down to the way my computer looked and what was behind me as I typed and how I spoke, this movie gets it right. There are things that it doesn't get perfect. There are some, you know, you can only do so much in 2.5 hours. But this does portray the truth. My concern was that by implication, it spreads, it promulgates inadvertently, I believe, the big lie, which is that enhanced interrogation is in some way acceptable, or did actually play a positive role. And that is not the nuanced message the movie makes, but that's what the average viewer will take. And as you point out, unfortunately, rightly, foreigners certainly will leap upon this as proof that, you know, we are horrible torturers. And the fact is that we did that stuff. And it, you know, we will pay the consequences a long time. But to denounce Bigelow for that is frankly stupid or in poor faith.
Again, I'm speaking with Glenn Kyle, who was a member of the CIA's clandestine service for 23 years and retired in March of 2007 as Deputy National Intelligence Officer. He's the author of the recent book, The Interrogator and Education, and he has an article at the Huffington Post, Zero Dark 30, Torture is the American Way? So back to John Brennan's nomination announced today by the president. Obviously, he's not going to have as tough a time as Chuck Hagel. The knives have already been sharpened for some time by the neoconservatives and by...
saying Hagel's a fine public servant also.
Yeah. Well, I think it's that again. You got the bitterness of John McCain, who really had a falling out with Hagel. Hagel was pretty much his protege in the Senate, and in 2008, Hagel considered running for the presidency against McCain. So some bad blood there. But this is not about the right person for the job and the Senate doing its duty of advice and consent. And vetting nominees, this is sort of political payback, isn't it? And I mean, do you accept my premise, Glenn Carl, that it seems that both Lindsey Graham and John McCain have just had this jihad against Obama from day one, and anything he does?
Absolutely, I do. Of course, you know, McCain and I am a co-signatory with a letter. I don't think it's the same letter you just alluded to, with Senator McCain denouncing torture recently. So on that subject, he and I are of like minds. I think that might be the only one I can think of, just about. And I find him not to be a deep thinker on public issues, but to be an ardent one, and to be a partisan one. And it's quite clear that I'm a little surprised that Lindsey Graham is playing the attack dog when he sometimes is a more thoughtful public figure. But the Republicans consistently, as everyone who reads the papers, I think, should see, have taken the position that their job is to oppose President Obama. That strikes me as a bizarre conception of the serving the public interest, but that seems to be what's happening.
So what do you think, then, are the chances? I mean, I know you said you don't read the tea leaves, but after Petraeus, who was the darling of the conservatives, and of course he blew up in their face, and I don't know whether you heard the Fox News tape of Fox News trying to recruit Petraeus to become president of the United States and run against Obama, either in 12 or in 16. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's true.
Well, I know that I hadn't heard that, but I knew in 2007 that. That many viewed him as the next President MacArthur, as it were, and that he was an ambitious man, although certainly a talented one. I haven't heard the most recent thoughts, but you know, everyone likes a man and the hero on the white horse. So.
Right. Well, he's the guy that saved Bush's bacon with the so-called surge. I mean, Bob Baer recently, I spoke with him, and he said that he thought that the CIA were perfectly happy to get rid of this guy because...
Oh, I agree with Bob, sure. Yeah, I do agree with Bob. Yeah. That
he was dumped on them to get him off the street so Fox couldn't recruit him.
Yeah, just, well, you know, Senator Joe Kennedy was sent to the Court of St. James in the 1940s because he was a potential presidential rival of Franklin Roosevelt. So there's a long tradition of putting important people in jobs that send them on a sideways trajectory from the presidency. So, well, sure, I think that was what was happening in part.
Well, just in closing, Glenn Carl, do you think then that we're going to have a real debate on this terrorism issue and the use of terrorism and the stain against the United States? I mean, my big objection to it in terms of foreign policy is that every two-bit dictator around the world now can get a free pass, you know, whether it's Mugabe or Assad in Syria saying, well, you know, the Americans do it. I think the damage is extremely deep and lasting that's been done. But is there any way you think for us to heal ourselves and maybe put Dick Cheney on trial, for God's sake?
Yeah, well, this is something I've thought about a great deal, and I don't think there's no easy solution to it. But to me, the answer is acknowledge your failings, speak them openly, and embrace them, and not to lie and not to dissemble. We did this. This is a stain. We should say that we did this, and it is a stain, and it does not define us. It was an aberration, and here is how we will live up to our ideals and embody them, which, on the whole, the United States has. In this instance, we did not. That's the only thing I think we can do, because otherwise we will add hypocrisy to error and to sin, if you want to call it that. So I think that's all you can do. It is hard to live down Abu Ghraib or enhanced interrogation. it contradicts what America is supposed to stand for. Now, should we try Cheney? I personally have found, have come to the position that one of America's strengths is to look forward and not to look back and seek vengeance, or in this instance, even justice, that it would be as divisive and probably more so than it would be constructive and healing. So I don't support that, although I think what he did amounts to a usurpation of the Constitution and our laws.
Well, Glenn Carlisle, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
My pleasure. Thank you. Anytime.
Again, I've been speaking with Glenn Carlisle, who was a member of the CIA's clandestine service for 23 years and retired in March of 2007 as Deputy National Intelligence Officer for Transnational Threats. He's the author of The Interrogator and Education and has an article at the Huffington Post, Zero Dark 30, Torture is the American Way? Question. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about how a $1 trillion platinum coin might stop the Republicans from shutting down the government again.